Gage, stop! Stay there!
Experience. There's no limit to the horror the human mind can apprehend. When the nightmare grows dark enough, horror spawns horror. Coincidental evils beget other, deliberate ones until at last, darkness covers everything. The interesting question is how much of this can a man stand and stay sane? But I didn't think about any of this at the time. By which I mean at the time of my son's death. Gage William Creed. During those few days leading up to the funeral, I didn't think about anything much. I just replayed the accident in my head. Over and over.
Gage! Stop! Stay there!
Gage, you must never run in the road. Never. You do that again and I swear I'll put you over my knee. You gave us such a fright.
But that ain't how it was. Gage was too quick. Lewis was too far away. That old Orinco truck was too big, too fast. That damn road. That damn road. I made the arrangements for the funeral, like I had for Norma a few months before. Lewis came with me to pick out the coffin.
The American Casket Company's Rosewood model. Eternal rest.
It's a beautiful casket.
Yes.
I'm afraid we only have the pink silk lining, Dr. Creed. It should be blue, of course.
Doesn't matter, Mr. Mortensen. My wife and I have never made such distinctions.
The morning before the funeral, I was minding Ellie in the Creed's kitchen, watching the poor kid push her mark around the Monopoly board. She held onto a photograph taken last winter, her pulling Gage on a sled, both of them laughing. Rachel was out of it that day, house coat buttoned wrong, hair a mess. Lewis looked okay in his dark suit and tie, but he was lost in shock. Steve Masterton, Lou's buddy from work, was there too. Thank God.
I told you before, Mr. Goldman, Rachel needs a little more time.
More time?
Or maybe this afternoon, if the tranquilizers
and
kick in.
And rotten son-in-laws behind this keeping my daughter
Mr.
away from
Goldman,
me.
Rachel is my patient now, and I'm doing what I think is best for her.
Sorry.
Right now, she needs to be left alone.
You schmuck!
Father-in-law from hell again. How's it going, Mr. Crandall?
Pretty terrible. 3-5, boardwalk. Your throw, Ellie.
I'm worried about Lewis. Could you have a word before he leaves for the funeral home?
If I think Rachel can handle it, I'll bring her in this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Crandall, stay with Ellie.
I touched his jacket, Steve.
What?
I swear I did. But by then he couldn't stop and the truck was going so
Ooh,
fast.
Get a hold of yourself.
Right.
I don't think you've noticed, but Ellie isn't vocalizing. And Rachel's in such bad shock, she's lost all sense of time.
You fall down when little kids run fast like that.
Lou, they need you now. Please, man. I can give your wife a shot, but... Oh, what a mess. What a damn mess.
Gotta go now, Steve. I'll be late for the viewing.
Yeah.
Viewing. That's what Mr. Mortensen called it. Really a viewing, of course, because of the closed coffin. But if it was open, they'd all run screaming from the room.
Oh, Lewis, I'm so sorry. Such a dear, sweet little boy.
Missy, thank you for coming.
It's an awful road, Lewis. That truck driver was going far too fast. I hope they put him in jail. Why would God take Gage?
I don't know.
Where's Rachel?
Resting. She'll be along later.
Thank God he didn't suffer, Lewis. At least it was quick.
Oh, yeah, it was quick, all right. It took 5 seconds for that truck to drag Gage the length of a football field. As I ran after him, screaming his name. On the 25-yard line, there was his Red Sox cap. 50-yard line, one of his Spider-Man sneakers. 75-yard line, his sweater turned inside out. Then there was Gage.
Lewis? Lewis? Lewis, are you all right?
Yeah. Fine. Fine, Missy. Don't forget to sign the book for Rachel.
Be well, Lewis.
Missy hurried on down the aisle for the ritual examination of the coffin. Then the rest came, moving in a shuffling line. And I received them. Their handshakes, hugs, tears. Collar and sleeve of my jacket got quite damp.
He's with the angels in his whole life ahead of him.
God moves in mysterious ways.
Thank God he didn't suffer. Mercifully, he didn't suffer.
Didn't suffer.
I was told it was merciful Gage hadn't suffered 32 times. God works in mysterious ways, 25. He's with the angels now a mere 12 times. By the time my parents-in-law appeared, I felt like a boxer at the end of a long, hard fight. I thought how old they looked, and I decided it was time to let bygones be bygones. Erwin, Dory, I know things have been difficult between us, but let's put that behind us now.
You're right, Lewis. Gage would have wanted
to... Don't speak to him, Dory. Come on.
Erwin, Dory, please.
I warned Rachel about you.
Dr. Creed, telephone.
How you doing?
Coping. Is Rachel coming in?
Yeah. She seems a little better. How about we meet for lunch?
Sure, Steve. What's a good restaurant for halftime between funeral viewings?
Hey, take it easy.
How about Benjamin's?
Benjamin's sounds fine.
Your mom and dad were in. I hardly spoke to them. Can I get another beer here, please?
Coming right up.
Steve?
No, thanks. I've had enough.
I'm going to give his clothes to the Salvation Army.
Rachel.
Now, there's a lot of wear on them yet. Someone will be glad of them. Except for the ones he was wearing. Of course. Yeah, that's right. Oh. Oh.
Lewis.
Oh.
Lewis, for pity's sake.
Oh.
It's okay, Rachel.
Oh.
It's okay.
I sat there and watched Steve take my wife in his arms and hug her gently. I could see he was angry with me, and I knew what I ought to do, but I just couldn't comfort her. That afternoon, Rachel received the mourners while I sat in the front row near the coffin. I was so tired. My mind started to shut down.
I knew something like this would happen. I said when she married you,
Erwin,
you'll have all the grief you can stand, I said to her, and more. Now look at this mess.
What are you talking about?
I told Rachel this is what it gets you, marrying against your father's wishes.
No, not even you would
you
say that.
You prancing little fraud of a
You're
doctor.
You're drunk, you stink
you
of whiskey.
You tricked my daughter into marriage, turned her into a scullery maid, and then let her son be run down on the highway like a chipmunk.
You said that to Rachel, you said that?
You let my grandson die a dirty death on a country road.
You bastard!
All right.
Lewis, no,
don't
hit
me. You like to hit old
men, don't you? Just leave it alone.
No! Ow!
Gage's coffin fell on its lid, so it didn't actually open and spill out his sad, hurt remains. We were spared that, at least. Sitting there on the floor, bleeding onto the broken vases and crushed flowers, I began to weep. beside me, Irwin Goldman, was weeping. Rachel was led out by her mother, still screaming. Later, she became very quiet. When I got her home, I sedated her and put her to bed. Try to sleep now. I'm sorry, Rachel. I'd give anything in the world for that not to have happened.
Doesn't matter. You'll put Ellie to bed?
Of course. How bad are you?
Pretty bad, Louis. Pretty damn terrible.
You don't want to sleep with Mommy tonight?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, she steals the covers.
I want you to know, Ellie, that if we keep on loving each other, we can get through this.
I'm going to wish really hard. I'm going to pray to God for Gage to come back.
Come on, Ellie. God doesn't bring people...
God can bring Gage back if he wants to. God can do anything.
God doesn't do things like that.
He does so. In Sunday school, the teacher told us about this guy, Lazarus. He was dead, and Jesus brought him back to life. He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Ellie, that's just... That was a long time ago.
I'm going to keep things ready for Gage. I'm going to carry his picture and sit in his chair and, you know, get things ready. In case.
It makes a kind of crazed sense. Keep the lines open. Keep Gage in the hot 100. Remember when Gage did this or that? Yeah, good old Gage. What a kid. Because a day will come, Ellie, maybe soon, when you'll forget to carry his picture. And I'll see it lying in this empty room while you ride your bike or watch television or go out to play with a friend. When Gage becomes something that happened once, a blast from the past. Ellie, don't cry anymore. This isn't forever. Ellie fell asleep before her tears stopped. I left her bedroom and stood at the head of the stairs. I knew what I needed. I needed to get drunk. I got nothing for you. Go kill a bird. You don't even eat them, do you? Just killing them is enough for you. To my son, my late son, Gage Creed, who might have been an artist or an Olympic swimmer, the goddamn president of the United States. Hey, Frankencat, get lost! Has anyone ever buried a person up there?
Louis, no! Whoever would?
When are you gonna do it, Louis, my man? When are you going to take Gage up to the woods?
Never.
You must not go beyond this, no matter how much you feel the need.
Makes perfect sense. Gage was killed on the road, just like Church. Now Church is coming up.
Not right, he's not...
What, Ellie?
Church smells funny.
He's not Church anymore.
Okay, he's a bit ripe. He kills a few birds.
A few birds, jeez.
Ellie still loves him. He's still part of the family.
No, I won't go down that road. That's insanity.
There is more power here than you can understand. It is old and always restless. Remember this.
God can do anything. In Sunday school, the teacher told us about this guy, Lazarus. He was dead, and Jesus brought him back to life.
Yeah, Lou. But would it work?
Can I come inside, Louis?
Tell you what, John. It's very late, and I've just drunk a pile of beer.
Yeah, I can smell it. You gonna let me in or not?
Oh, since you put it like that... Hey, you're in luck. Still a few left.
Right. Thanks.
Okay. What are you doing over here at 12:15 on the morning my son gets buried? You're a good friend, Judd, but this is pushing it.
Sit down, Lewis. Tell me you're not thinking of taking him up there. To the Mi'kmaq burying ground.
I wasn't thinking about anything but going to...
The influence of that place extends, you know?
Judd, I really don't
I see... don't. I've lived my whole life in this patch of the world. That place was holy to the Mi'kmaqs, but not in a good way. Stanny B told me that, so did my dad. That's why I came over here tonight to tell you about Timmy Baderman.
Who's Timmy Baderman?
Timmy was one of 20 or so Ludlow boys, went to fight Hitler in 42. Came back in a box with Old Glory on top in 43. His daddy, Bill Baderman, went crazy when he got the telegram. Then he quieted right down. He knew about the Mi'kmaq burying ground, see?
Why didn't you tell me this before, Judd? After we did the cat.
You didn't need to know then. Now you do. I knew I'd got to talk to you about this when Mortensen down at the funeral home told me you'd ordered a grave liner instead of a ceiling vault.
You've been snooping on me, Judd. I'm sorry for that.
You once told me your uncle was an undertaker, said you worked for him one summer.
So what?
So you know, it takes a crane and a gang of navvies to open a ceiling vault, but a grave liner. One guy with a pick and shovel could do it, if he was determined.
Judd, it's late. I'm drunk and my heart aches. If you have to tell me a story, then tell it. Just get it over with.
Timmy Baderman was shot dead on the road to Rome on July 15th, 1943. His body was shipped home 2 days later and put onto a mystery train with a dozen
mystery
others.
Train?
That's what they called those funeral trains. This one went all over the state. Bangor, Derry, Orrington, finally Ludlow, where Bill Baderman was waiting. Timmy was buried in Pleasant View Cemetery 2 days later with full military honors. Half of Ludlow was there. That would be July 22nd. 4 days after that, Marjorie Washburn, the mailwoman in those days, saw Timmy walking along the Peterson Road. Marge went straight back to the post office, tossed a bag of undelivered mail across George Anderson's desk.
Marge? What's the matter? You look as white as a bone.
I don't want to talk about it.
Are you sick?
I said I don't want to talk about it.
She didn't either. Not till 20 years had passed, and she was dying.
I knew he was dead. Hell, I'd been to his funeral. Then there he was, walking, lurching up the Peterson Road. Dead pale, eyes like raisins in bread dough, wearing an old army greatcoat, though it must have been 90 in the shade. I saw a ghost that day.
Pretty soon, others saw Timmy. Mrs. Stratton was one. She had a house on the Peterson Road. She'd play her jazz records for you and throw a little party if you had a $10 bill that wasn't working too hard. She saw Timmy from her porch.
He stood there at the edge of the road, hands dangling, chin pushed out. My heart was going like 60. I was too scared to move. Then he turned and looked at me. And his eyes, they were like dusty marbles. And he grinned.
Still got your jazz records, Mrs. Stratton? 'Cause I wouldn't mind cutting a rug with you. Maybe this very night.
Mrs. Stratton went inside, didn't come out for a week. By which time it was all over.
You saw him, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw him.
What was he like?
Ever see one of them zombie movies, Lewis? Where the creatures shamble along, dead eyes staring, sort of slow, clumsy?
It's like that?
He was. But he wasn't, because there was something behind those eyes, something nasty, sly. Wasn't quite thinking. And I don't believe it had much to do with Timmy Baderman. It was more like a radio signal coming from somewhere else. Anyhow, back and forth he went along that road. Until at last a few of us got together. Me, George Anderson, the postmaster, Hannibal Benson, our second selectman. We decided to go up to Bill Baderman's place, get that abomination taken care of. I'll never forget that night. It was hotter than hell, with the setting sun making the sky look like a bucket of guts. We drove over in Hannibal Benson's car. We were scared, Lewis. When we got there, Hannibal knocked. No one answered, so we went around the back. And there they were. Bill Bateman was sitting on his stoop with a pitcher of beer. Timmy was in the yard, staring up at that blood-red sun. Bill, he was floating in his clothes, must have lost 40 pounds. His eyes were sunk. Lewis, he looked damned.
I didn't hear your boys knock.
That's a barefaced lie. I knocked loud enough to wake up a deaf man.
Bill, I heard your boy was killed over in Italy.
Well, that was a mistake.
The War Department don't think so.
You see him standing right over there, don't you?
So who'd you reckon was in that coffin you had buried out at Pleasant View?
Damned if I know. And damned if I care.
The War Department...
Let the damn War Department rot in hell. Timmy come home the other day. He's shell-shocked or something. He's a little strange now, but he'll come around.
Quit it, Bill. We all know you've been fooling around in the woods north of Route 15. You've cost yourself and this town a heap of trouble.
When I got that telegram, life just ran out of me like piss down my leg. He was 18, all I had left of his dear mother, and now I got him back. So screw the Army and the War Department and the US of A, and screw you boys too.
He's shaking. His mouth is going tick, 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 the sweat all over him. And that's when I realized he's crazy. You okay, Lou?
I feel sick to my stomach. So what did you do about Timmy Baderman?
Not a lot we could do. Hannibal said, God help you, Bill. We got ready to go. That's when Timmy came over. Hell, he even walked wrong, Lewis, like an old, old man. And he stank. A black smell, like everything in the siding was spoiled. He expected to see maggots squirming.
Okay, stop. Please, Judd, I've heard enough.
That's it, you ain't. And I can't tell it as bad as it was. He was dead, Lewis. But he was alive, too, and... He knew things.
Knew things? What sort of things?
Timmy looked at Hannibal Benson, sort of grinned. Showed his teeth anyway. Then he leaned forward like he had a special secret to tell. Hannibal couldn't move. He was like a raccoon caught in headlights.
Got some news about your wife, Benson. Your young, sweet, innocent wife is screwing that man she works with down at the drugstore.
No. No!
What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Shut up! Shut up, or I'll knock you down, whatever you are.
And you, old man Anderson, that grandson you set such store by is just willing you to die. You want to know what he calls you? Old wooden leg.
No.
What do you think of that? But my, won't he spit when he finds all the money he's waiting for has been spent on gambling. Every red cent. What do you think of that?
My God, how did you...
Timmy!
Oh, my God!
Stop it! You stop it now!
Timmy wouldn't stop. He went on. Said something bad about me, too. He was raving by then, pouring out all that nastiness and bile. What we saw, it was pure evil, Lewis. We backed off. Then we ran. George had half fainted. We had to carry him. Last I saw of Timmy Bateman, he was on that back porch, face all red in the setting sun, those terrible marks standing out, laughing and screeching.
Cuckold! Beggar! Whoremaster! Cuckold! Beggar! Whoremaster! Goodbye, gentlemen! Goodbye!
Those things Timmy said, were they true?
I don't rightly know.
What about the thing Timmy Baderman said about you?
It was true. Christ, it was true. I used to go to a whorehouse in Bangor sometimes. I just get the urge, the compulsion.
Norber wouldn't have left me if she'd known, but something in her would have died forever. Something dear and sweet.
Take it easy, John.
Timmy told us the bad. Only the bad. God knows, Lou, we've all got some of that in us. But there was good in those men, too. It showed us the bad because it was bad and it knew we hated it. Timmy Bateman had been a nice, ordinary kid, but what we saw that night, that was a monster, Lewis. And the Micmacs would have known what it was.
And what's that?
Something touched by the Wendigo.
So how did it all come out?
There was a fire at the Bateman place 2 nights later, burned flat.
They both burned up?
They burned, yeah. But they was dead beforehand. Timmy was shot twice in the chest with Bill Bateman's old Colt, which they found in Bill's hand. Seemed like Bill killed his boy, spread the kerosene around, then flipped the match, ate the barrel of his .45.
Oh, jeez.
They were both well charred, but the county medical examiner said it looked like Timmy had been dead 2 or 3 weeks. The Micmacs didn't make that place the way it is, Lewis. It was there when they came here maybe 2,000 years ago. Now they're gone. It's there still, and someday will be gone. The evil will go on.
So why'd you take me there, Judd?
I was too weak to resist. The place has power. I'm scared it used me to get at you through your son. You see what I'm getting at, Lewis?
You're saying the place knew Gage was gonna die?
No, I'm saying the place might have made Gage die because I took you there. I'm saying I might have murdered your son, Lewis.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, the hour's late, Lewis. I've talked 9 times more than I meant to.
I doubt that. You've been very eloquent, Judd. We're burying Gage in Bangor, and in Bangor he'll stay. I don't plan to go to the Pet Cemetery or beyond it ever again.
Promise me, Lewis. Promise. For Gage's sake.
I promise. For Gage's sake.
You must never, never run in the road, never.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
7 years old already, I can hardly believe it.
Oh, seems like only yesterday he was in diapers.
To you.
Okay, Gage, take a big breath.
Hit your starting positions.
When did he get so tall? State swimming champion, scholarship to Johns Hopkins. And through it all is still the same sweet Gage.
And Sage William Creed, who celebrated his 19th birthday earlier this month, steps onto the podium to accept the first gold medal for America of these Olympics.
I feel so proud.
Oh, Lewis.
I never thought that afternoon all those years ago when I raced that Orenco truck for Gage's life, he was stepping up on that podium. No birthdays. No college. No Olympics. No Gage.
Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God.
We buried Gage at 2 o'clock that afternoon with a short graveside service. My father-in-law stood opposite me across the grave, avoiding my eyes. He looked utterly lost, and more like a wino than ever.
Now let us all bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer.
It takes a crane and a gang of navvies to open a ceiling vault, but a grave liner, one guy with a pick and shovel could do it, if he was determined.
No. No, I won't think of that.
Good service. You okay, Lewis?
Just about.
How are you, Rachel?
I'm all right. Thank you, Chad.
And how about you, my dear one? How are you getting along?
I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Crandall.
Can I see that photo you got there, Ellie? Please?
All right.
Must have been darn hard work for you pulling that sled. I can see Gage liked it, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He liked it a lot.
Judd, please.
No, Rachel. Let it be.
I'd pull, and he'd laugh and laugh. Then we'd go inside, and Mommy would fix us some cocoa. Remember that, Mommy?
Yes.
I bet that was a good time, all right. Here. You keep this safe. Your little brother may be dead now, Ellie, but you still got your good memories of him.
Yes, I have. I love Gage, Mr. Crandall.
I know you did, my dear. See you back at the house.
At the gathering afterwards, Rachel broke down only once, and her mother was there to comfort her. Ellie did the rounds with a tray of canapes, the photo of Gage tucked firmly under her arm. That evening, clouds rolled in, and a strong west wind started to blow. Rachel was in the kitchen stacking the dishwasher.
What are you looking for, Lou?
Car keys.
Take mine.
Thanks.
Where are you going?
Thought I'd pick up a pizza.
Didn't you eat earlier?
Wasn't hungry then. I might drive over to Bangor. You want anything?
One pepperoni with mushrooms. Any side orders for that, Doc?
No, thanks.
We're real busy right now, so it'll be 45 minutes. Okay for you?
Yeah, sure. I'll come back around 9.
Doc, I saw in the paper about your little boy. I'm real sorry.
As I left the pizzeria, it suddenly occurred to me that I was in walking distance of Pleasant View, where Gage was buried. I had time to kill.
All these little plots in their neat, regular rows. Real estate for sale. One-room apartments. No headstone yet. Just a neat rectangle of bare earth, with Gage underneath it. It's dark. The gate's unlocked. You could easily come back here with a pickaxe. Oh, yeah, and be charged with vandalism, grave robbing, lose my job? You're talking about jobs? You could bring Gage back. Your son could live again. I'm supposed to believe that? You've seen church, and you believe Judd's story about Timmy Baderman. Including the part about Timmy Baderman being transformed into some sort of all-knowing demon? You don't really believe that. Okay. Say Judd was exaggerating that. Think of church now. Nasty, graceless, muddled. That day with the kite. Remember how vibrant and alive Gage was?
Oh, Daddy!
Hey, how about that?
Higher!
Yeah! Woo! Isn't it best to remember Gage like that? Or do you want my son to be a zombie from a grade B horror picture? So what if Gage is diminished? You'll still love him? So would Rachel and Ellie? And as for everyone else, well, they can just go to hell. They can all go to hell.
Hey, you, what you doing there?
Who are you?
I'm caretaker of this boneyard. More to the point, bud. Who are you? And what are you up to? This place is off limits after dark, don't you know that?
I'm sorry, no, I didn't. Could you shine your flashlight down, please? I
can't
see. Get
up, mister. Let's take a look at you. You by yourself?
Yes.
What you been doing with that grave? That's a little boy's grave.
I know.
The little boy was my son.
Oh, God, sir. I should have realized. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
I didn't mean what I said, you know. We got winos breaking in here.
He thought I was one. Yeah, I can see how you might.
I got a little grandson myself, 3 years old. Must be like a goddamn nightmare.
That just about says it.
Come along, sir. I'll walk you to the gate.
So, what time you punch out of here?
I get off here at 11.
There's no one here all night, then? Isn't that risky? I mean, you said there were drunks.
Plenty of cop cars patrolling this neighborhood. They keep an eye on things.
Good. That's good.
Don't you worry, sir. Your little boy rests safely here till the end of time.
Time. That could be the key. Timmy Baderman had been dead for 10, 12 days before his father could get him up to the burial ground. Maybe that's why it all went wrong. Gage has been dead for 4 already, but I could cut the time in half if only the circumstances were right. It was easy with church because the family were away. Because the family were away in Chicago.
You want us to what?
Fly back with your mom and dad when they go home tomorrow.
Louis, are you out of your mind? After the fight you had with my father?
That's one reason I want you to go. It's time we healed.
Louis, Chicago. I don't think it's a good idea. Ellie and I need you now. I hope you need us.
I do. Both of you, very much.
So let's stay here. We'll face this together.
Of course. We've got to do that.
Well, then why?
First, we need time to recover. Honey, right now this house is the most painful place in the world for you. Gage is everywhere.
You're right. Hits me all the time. I moved the couch while you were out. I thought cleaning would take my mind off things. Mm. There were 4 of Gage's little matchbox cars under there. We were waiting for him to come back and play with them. Oh, Louis. Would you hold me? Please.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
If only we could get him back.
Rachel.
Louis, I'd watch him better. I swear. Oh, I read in the paper that he tried to commit suicide.
Who did?
The truck driver. He tried to hang himself in his garage.
Too bad he failed.
Oh, no, the paper said he was in deep shock and depression.
Oh, yeah, but it'll pass when some judge gives him a slap on the wrist fine.
No, it's weird, Louis. He wasn't drunk or on drugs. He'd never been caught speeding before. He said when he got to Ludlow, he just felt like putting the pedal to the metal. He didn't even know why.
There is more power here than you can understand.
I'm saying the place might have made Gage die because I took him there.
Louis, are you okay?
Fine.
You look feverish, like you're coming down with
you
something.
You and Ellie shouldn't be in this house, Rachel. Not another day. Call your mom and dad. Do it now. I'll follow you in 3 days, 4 at the most.
Well, why not come with us?
I need to find someone to cover for me.
Louis.
What?
What are you hiding?
Hiding? I don't know what you mean.
Don't you?
No, I don't.
Never mind. I'll call my parents, Louis, if that's what you really want.
Yes, it is.
The Goldmans were overjoyed at my suggestion, and Rachel managed to get 2 cancellations on a flight that got to Chicago just a couple of hours after her parents. She went upstairs to pack.
Louis Creed.
Louis, this is Irwin.
I'll call Rachel.
No. I phoned to talk to you, Louis. Dory wanted me to call and apologize. And I guess I want to apologize, too.
There's no need.
What I did at the funeral home was shameful.
Well, Mr. Goldman, that was an emotional day for all of us.
It was a terrible day. Thanks to me. A stupid, pig-headed old man. I hurt my daughter when she needed my help. I hurt you.
Mr. Goldman, please. There's no need.
Rachel probably told you. We had another daughter.
Zelda. Yes, she told me about Zelda.
It was so difficult. Most of all for Rachel, I think. She was there when Zelda died.
I heard about that.
But it was hard for Dory and me, too. Dory almost had a breakdown.
Did she?
And ever since, we've clung to Rachel. Tried to protect her. To make up for not being there.
Please, Mr. Goldman. Erwin. No more. I can't take any more.
Let me apologize, Lewis, please. That's what I called to do.
Suddenly I had this great idea. I'd let Gage lie in his Pleasant View grave. Instead of opening a door that had closed, I'd lock it and throw away the key I told him to do. Tidy up here, fly to Chicago, spend summer there with Rachel and Ellie. In mid-August, we'd come home and start afresh. Begin weaving our lives again from new thread.
Would you help me shut the lid?
Let's hope it doesn't spring open in the baggage hold. I'll take it downstairs.
Lewis.
What?
Are you sure there's nothing you want to tell me?
God's sake, hon. What do you think I'm going to do? Creep off to a bordello, join the circus? What?
I don't know, but this feels wrong. It's like you're trying to get rid of us.
Rachel, that's ridiculous.
You were never a good liar, Lou.
Why would I lie?
Ellie dreamed you were dead last night.
Did she?
She woke up crying. I went to her. She dreamed you were sitting at the kitchen table. Your eyes were open, but she knew you were dead. She said she could hear fire engines and smell burning. Steve Masterton was screaming.
Her brother just died, all right? It's normal
to
dream that
I worked that out
members...
for myself. But the way she told it, it was like a prophecy. Or maybe you had to be there.
Yeah, maybe so.
Come with us, Lewis. I'm afraid. I've been having dreams of my own.
About what?
Zelda. She's coming to get me. She engaged for letting them both die.
Rachel, that's just...
I know, just a dream. Take the suitcase down and come to bed with me, Lewis. Keep the dreams away, if you can.